Now, are you ready? I need to begin this sermon by reminding you of a couple things, and by asking you to bear with me at least through the beginning of it. Okay, you need to give me a few minutes to make my point this morning. Do not jump quickly, hastily, to a conclusion. Do not shut me out now. Remember that I am your pastor and I love you. Better yet, remember that I am your pastor and God commands you to love me. Understand that right now, I am only doing what God has laid on my conscience to do. I am fulfilling my calling as your pastor right now. So do not shut your minds. Do not reject this message, please. For the next few minutes, listen to me. Today, at this very moment in time, we are just a few days away from the most important election in the history of the United States of America. This election is important because there has been a great change in the way people think in America. I'm going to try to illustrate that for you. Bear with me. 20 years ago, if I had climbed up in this pulpit, and guess what? 20 years ago, I was in this pulpit. 20 years ago, if I had climbed up in this pulpit and I had said, abortion is a bad thing, most of you would have agreed with me. Today, when I stand before you and say abortion is a bad people, some of you and people all over this nation think that I am just being political. No, I am not. Abortion is not a political issue. It's a biblical, moral issue. Today, abortion is used as a method of birth control throughout this land. I had sex last night, I conceived a baby, and I don't want it, so I kill it. And that offends God and is morally wrong. It is biblically wrong. What is worse yet is we are being compelled, you and I, to spend our money, the money we contribute to the government in taxes, to fund abortions. And what's worse than that is that in a very short time, at the very turn of this very year, religious organizations who oppose abortion on a biblical and moral standard will be required to provide that very service for their employees, whether they want to or not, which is a clear violation of the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, which decrees that the government shall pass no law regulating religion. It's wrong, biblically and morally. Excuse me for being blunt, but thinking in America has changed. 20 years ago, if I said marriage is between a man and a woman, most of you would have said, of course. If I say it today, as I am saying it today, many of you and people across this great land will think that I am just being political. But folks, marriage is biblically defined. It is not a political issue. Politicians should leave it alone because marriage is biblically defined. And what makes it worse is that they are claiming that the right a man has to marry another man or a woman has to marry another woman is a civil right. They're saying that it is as this, you have the same right to marry a same-sex person as you do to ride in the front of the bus if you are a black person, and there's something wrong with that way of thinking. But today, excuse me for declaring it, thinking has changed in America. 20 years ago, if I had said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and that Israel is our strongest ally in the Arab world, most people would have agreed with me. But if I say it today, some of you and people in this great land in which we live will think I am just being political. Do you read your Bible? God declares that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It is not a political issue. It is resolved biblically. For the first time in my lifetime, and I am rapidly becoming an old man, for the first time in my lifetime, we are allowing our enemies to abuse us. We are actually giving them money while they abuse us. And we know now, supplying them the very weapons they use to kill our ambassadors and our soldiers. And at the same time, we are turning our back on our strongest ally in the world, Israel, contrary to the biblical command of God. God says that he will get those, he will judge those nations who turn on Israel. It's not a political issue. It's settled in the Bible. And you will excuse me for being blunt, but thinking has changed in America. 20 years ago, if I had said, it is wrong to spend our children's inheritance by running up massive debt, most of you would have agreed with me. However, when I say that today, some of you in this room and people across this great land say, I am just being political. But I want you to know that it is biblically and morally wrong to sell your children into slavery so that you might live the grand life you can no longer afford. It's not a political issue. It is settled by the Bible. And you'll excuse me for being blunt, but thinking has changed in America. 20 years ago, if I had stood in the pulpit and made comments like this on the Sunday preceding an important election, people would have come up to me after church and slapped me on the back and said, right on, Pastor. But I can tell you right now, the council members are quaking in their shoes for fear we're going to lose our tax-exempt status today. And some of you are sitting out there saying, oh, I wish he'd shut up. He's just being political. Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. It's a dangerous time. And what makes it a dangerous time is that thinking in America has drifted away from biblical values and morals and has changed for the worse. You ready? Here comes the Bible. Not me anymore, it's the Bible. The passage of scripture that Lil just read in your hearing tells us of a time when Jesus encountered three men. The first guy came up to Jesus and he said, I want to follow you. I will follow you anywhere you go, Jesus. And Jesus very politely said to the man that he could not offer him any kind of security. He pointed out that Jesus did not have a house in which to sleep or a pillow on which to rest his head. Jesus told that man that unless he was willing to give up everything, to give up everything that this world had to offer, he would be unhappy following Jesus. The Bible says that that man turned away from Jesus because he wanted the stuff of this world more than he wanted the master. I listened to Billy Graham this morning on the television for about 30 seconds. Okay, one of those old Billy Graham classic crusades, you know, when Billy was young. Mm-hmm. And you know what he said? Anything you value more than you value God is your God. Anything you value more than you value God is your God. That's all I needed to hear. I turned him off because that's what God wanted me to hear. And that's what Jesus was saying to the first man in the passage of Scripture today. Anything that you want more than you want me will get in the way, because that thing is your God. And then Jesus turned. He approached this second guy, and he invited the guy to follow him. But this guy wanted to return home and wait until after his father had died before he started the journey with Jesus. We get the wrong impression when we hear that passage of Scripture read, because we think the guy's father's dead, laying in the coffin, and he wants to go to the funeral. That's not the issue at all. The guy's not even dead. The tense of the verb tells us that. He wants to go home and take care of his dad until his dad dies. And then he wants to bury his dad. And then after he's put it off for who knows how long, he'll follow Jesus. He wanted to put off following Jesus until a more convenient time. Jesus' response to him was not quite so polite. He said to him, "Buddy, let the dead bury the dead. But you get busy now with your father's business." The man wanted to wait before he started following Jesus. Man number three said to Jesus, "I'll follow you, but I just need to go say goodbye to my family first." And Jesus said to him, "He who starts the journey and looks back is unfit to be my disciple." The guy didn't want to give up his past. He wanted to keep all the bridges connected to the stuff in his background strongly connected. He wanted to hang on to the things from his past more than he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus basically said, "Ain't no way. You can't do that." Jesus ran into three men. He either asked them or they volunteered to follow him. And when he told them what it would cost to follow him, each one of them gave Jesus the wrong answer. See, when it comes to Jesus, folks, it is all or nothing. All or nothing. You're either in the game or you're out of the game. You can't play it this way and that way. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You're either in or you're out. It's all or nothing. You can't cling to your stuff and follow Jesus. You can't put off the decision to follow Jesus to a more convenient time. And you can't cling to your past with all its hurts and all its pains and follow Jesus. See, right now is the moment to decide. It is all or nothing. You either pick Jesus today or you decide against him today. Right now is the moment. It's all or nothing. Now you let me bring this together. Things have changed in America. Not because of America, but because of the American church. The thinking in our nation has changed because we have been quiet. 19 million evangelical Christians did not vote in the last presidential election. We were silent. Why were we silent? What are we afraid of? Why won't we speak about issues that the Bible instructs us on when we go to the polls? Oh, we want to be free to decide. We want to be free to pick for ourselves. We want to follow our own hearts. Do you know what the Bible tells you about your heart? It says about above all else, it is deceitful, and that you should not listen to it. Jeremiah 17:9. It's part of that ancient word stuff we've been doing today. Okay? We think somehow our heart has something to say to us. It has nothing to say to us. What should be speaking to us is the book. You hear me? Thinking has changed in the American church. I heard in an email this week, I heard the guy say, pastors are not afraid to speak out because they're afraid of the government. They won't speak out because they're afraid of the people in the church. Somebody's going to withhold their tithe or go to another church where they're less political. Well, can I tell you what? Go. Because God has called me to instruct you from His Word, and His Word is clear. The issues I brought up are biblically determined and are wrong in the way our nation is going, and it's up to us to change it. To follow Jesus, you must give up everything and dedicate yourself to no one else but the Master. You ready for this one now? You're not free. You are not free. You are not free. You have been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died for you. You belong to Him. That makes you His slave. And you need to stop fighting Him because your heart tells you you can. And submit to the will of the Master. Today, surrender to Jesus. And on Tuesday, you vote the book.